What about Mexican? Do you like Mexican? Burgers don't taste like, or Italian? Pizza would be great. And maybe there's something celery-based that you could order. Burgers it is. Olive laughed. What about Chinese? Had it for lunch. Well, people in China have Chinese food multiple times a day, so you shouldn't let that stop you from. Oh. It took Adam two whole steps to realize that Olive had stopped in the middle of the sidewalk. He whirled around to look at her. What? There. She pointed to the red and white sign across the road. Adam's gaze followed, and for a long moment he simply stared, blinking several times, and then,
No.
there, she repeated, feeling her cheeks widen into a grin.
Olive.
There was a deep, vertical line between his brows.
No, there are way better restaurants we can.
But I want to go to that one.
Why? There's.
She moved closer to him and grasped the sleeve of his blazer. Please. Please. Adam pinched his nose, sighed, and pursed his lips. But not 5 seconds later, he put his hand between her shoulder blades to guide her across the street. The problem, he explained in hushed tones as they waited to be seated, was not the sushi train, but the all-you-can-eat for $20.
It's never a good sign, he told her,
but his voice sounded more resigned than combative, and when the server ushered them inside, he followed her meekly to the booth. Olive marveled at the plates traveling on the conveyor belt, weaving across the restaurant, unable to stop her open-mouthed grin. When she remembered Adam's presence and turned her attention back to him, he was staring at her with an expression halfway between exasperated and indulgent.
You know,
he told her, eyeing a seaweed salad passing by his shoulder.
We could go to a real Japanese restaurant. I am very happy to pay for however much sushi you want to eat.
But will it move around me? He shook his head.
I take it back. You are a disturbingly cheap date.
She ignored him and lifted the glass door, grabbing a roll and a chocolate donut. Adam muttered something that sounded a lot like, very authentic. And when the waitress stopped by, he ordered them both a beer. What do you think this is? Olive dipped a piece of sushi in her soy sauce. Tuna or salmon?
Probably spider meat.
She popped it into her mouth. Delicious.
Really?
He looked skeptical. It wasn't, in all truth, but it was okay. And this? Well, this was so much fun. Exactly what she needed to empty her mind of everything. Everything but here and now, with Adam. Yep. She pushed the remaining piece toward him, silently daring him to try it. He broke apart his chopsticks with a long-suffering expression and picked it up, chewing for a long time.
It tastes like foot.
No way. Here. She grabbed a bowl of edamame from the belt. You can have this. It's basically broccoli. He brought one to his mouth, managing to look like he didn't hate it.
We don't have to talk, by the way.
Olive tilted her head.
You said you didn't want to talk to anyone back at the hotel, so we don't have to. If you'd rather eat this.
He glanced at the plates she had accumulated with obvious distrust.
Food and silence.
You're not just anyone. Seemed like a dangerous thing to say, so she smiled. I bet you're great at silences.
Is that a dare?
She shook her head. I want to talk. Just, can we not talk about the conference, or science, or the fact that the world is full of assholes? And that some of them are your close friends and collaborators? His hand closed into a fist on the table, jaw clenched tight as he nodded. Awesome. We could chat about how nice this place is.
It's appalling.
Or the taste of the sushi.
Foot.
Or the best movie in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Fast Five. Though I have a feeling you're going to say
Tokyo Drift.
Right.
He sighed, and they exchanged a small smile. And then the smile faded, and they just stared at each other, something thick and sweet coloring the air between them, magnetic, and just the right side of bearable. Olive had to rip her gaze from his because, no, no. She turned away, and her eyes fell on a couple at a table a few feet to their right. They were the mirror image of Adam and Olive, sitting on each side of their booth, all warm glances and tentative smiles. "Do you think they're on a fake date?" she asked, leaning back against her seat. Adam followed her gaze to the couple. "I thought those mostly involved coffee shops and sunscreen applications." "Nah, only the best ones." He laughed silently. "Well." He focused on the table and on angling his chopsticks so that they were parallel to each other. "I can definitely recommend it." Olive dipped her chin to hide a smile and then leaned forward to steal one edamame. In the elevator, she held on to his biceps and took off her heels, failing disastrously at being graceful as he studied her and shook his head. "I thought you said they didn't hurt." He sounded curious. "Amused? Fond?" "That was ages ago." Olive picked them up and let them dangle from her fingers. When she straightened, Adam was, again, impossibly tall. "Now I am very ready to chop off my feet." The elevator pinged, and the doors opened.
"That seems counterproductive."
"Oh, you have no idea. Hey, what are you?" Her heart skipped what felt like a dozen beats when Adam swept her up into a full bridal carry. She yelped, and he carried her to their room, all because she had a blister on her pinky toe. Without much of a choice, she closed her arms around his neck and sank against him, trying to make sure she'd survive if he decided to drop her. His hands were warm around her back and knee, forearms tight and strong. He smelled amazing. He felt even better. You know, the room's only 20 meters away.
"I have no idea what that means."
"Adam."
"We Americans think in feet, Canada."
"I'm too heavy."
"You really are."
The ease with which he shifted her in his arms to slide the key card belied his words.
"You should cut pumpkin-flavored drinks from your diet."
She pulled his hair and smiled into his shoulder. "Never." Their name tags were still on the TV table, exactly where they'd left them, and there was a conference program half open on Adam's bed, not to mention tote bags and a mountain of useless flyers. Olive noticed them immediately, and it was like having a thousand little splinters pressed deep into a fresh wound. It brought back every single word Tom had said to her, all his lies and his truths and his mocking insults, and Adam must have known. As soon as he put her down, he gathered everything that was conference-related and stuck it on a chair facing the windows, where it was hidden from their sight. And Olive? She could have hugged him. She wasn't going to. She already had, twice today. But she really could have. Instead, she resolutely pushed all those little splinters out of her mind, plopped herself down on her bed, belly up, and stared at the ceiling. She'd thought it would be awkward, being with him in such a small space for a whole night. And it was, a little bit. Or at least, it had been when she'd first arrived earlier today. But now she felt calm and safe, like her world, constantly hectic and messy and demanding, was slowing down, easing up just a bit. The bed cover rustled under her head when she turned to look at Adam. He seemed relaxed, too, as he draped his jacket against the back of a chair, then took off his watch and set it neatly on the desk. The casual domesticity of it, the thought that his day and hers would end in the same place at the same time, soothed her like a slow caress down her spine. "Thank you for buying me food." He glanced at her, crinkling his nose.
"I don't know that there was any food involved."
She smiled, rolling to her side. "You're not going out again?"
"Out?"
"Yeah, to meet other very important science people, eat another 7 pounds of edamame."
"I think I've had enough networking and edamame for this decade."
He took off his shoes and socks and set them neatly by the bed. "You're staying in then?" He paused and looked at her.
"Unless you'd rather be alone?"
"No, I would not." She propped herself up on her elbow. "Let's watch a movie." Adam blinked at her,
Sure. He sounded surprised, but not displeased. But if your taste in movies is anything like your taste in restaurants, it'll probably... He didn't see the pillow coming at him. It bounced off his face and then fell to the floor, making Olive giggle and spring off the bed. You mind if I shower before?
You smartass.
She started rummaging through her suitcase. You can pick the movie. I don't care which one. As long as there are no scenes in which horses are killed because it... Crap.
What?
I forgot my pajamas. She looked for her phone in the pockets of her coat. It wasn't there, and she realized that she hadn't brought it with her to the restaurant. Have you seen my... Oh, there it is. The battery was almost dead, probably because she had forgotten to turn off the recording after her talk. She hadn't checked her messages in a few hours and found several unread texts, mostly from Ann and Malcolm, asking her where she was and if she still planned to come to the social, telling her to get her ass there ASAP because the booze is flowing like a river. And then, finally, just informing her that they were all going downtown to a bar. Ann must have been well on her way to wasted by that point, because her last message read,
Call if you want to join. Heart us, Alvi.
I forgot my pajamas and wanted to see if I could borrow something from my friends, but I don't think they'll be back for hours. Though maybe Jess didn't go with them. Let me text and see if...
Here.
Adam set something black and neatly folded on her bed.
You can use this if you want.
She studied it skeptically. What is it?
A t-shirt. I slept in it yesterday, but it's probably better than the dress you're wearing. To sleep in, I mean.
He added, a faint flush on his cheeks. Oh. She picked it up, and the t-shirt unfolded. She immediately noticed three things. It was large, so large that it would hit her mid-thigh or even lower. It smelled heavenly, a mix of Adam's skin and laundry detergent that had her wanting to bury her face in it and inhale for weeks. And on the front, it said in big white letters, Biology Ninja? Adam scratched the back of his neck.
I didn't buy it.
Did you steal it?
It was a present.
Well, she grinned. This is one hell of a present, Dr. Ninja. He stared at her flatly.
If you tell anyone, I'll deny it.
She chuckled. Are you sure it's okay? What will you wear?
Nothing.
She must have been gaping at him a little too much, because he gave her an amused look and shook his head.
I'm kidding. I have a tee under my shirt.
She nodded and hurried into the bathroom, making a point not to meet his eyes. Alone under the hot jet of the shower, it was much harder to concentrate on stale sushi and Adam's uneven smile, and to forget why he'd ended up allowing her to cling to him for 3 whole hours. What Tom had done to her today was despicable, and she was going to have to report him. She was going to have to tell Adam. She was going to have to do something. But every time she tried to think about it rationally, she could hear his voice in her head. Mediocre, and nice legs, and useless and derivative, and little sob story. So loud that she was afraid her skull would shatter into pieces. So she kept her shower as quick as possible, distracting herself by reading the labels of Adam's shampoo and body wash, something hypoallergenic and pH balanced that had her rolling her eyes, and drying herself as fast as humanly possible. She took out her contacts, then stole a bit of his toothpaste. Her gaze fell on his toothbrush. It was charcoal black, down to the bristles, and she couldn't help but giggle. When she stepped out of the bathroom, he was sitting on the edge of the bed, wearing plaid pajama pants and a white t-shirt. He was holding the TV remote in one hand and his phone in the other, looking between the two screens with a frown.
You would. Would what?
He asked absentmindedly. Have a black toothbrush? His mouth twitched.
You will be shocked to hear that there is no Netflix category for movies in which horses don't die.
An obscenity, isn't it? It's much needed. She crumpled her too short dress into a ball and stuffed it inside her bag, fantasizing that she was stuffing Tom's throat. If I were American, I'd totally run for Congress on that platform.
Should we fake marry so you can get citizenship?
Her heart stumbled. Oh, yes. I think it's time we fake move to the next level.
So, he tapped at his phone. I'm just Googling dead horse, plus the title of whatever movie sounds good.
That's what I usually do. She padded across the room until she was standing next to him. What do you have?
This one's about a linguistics professor who's asked to help decipher an alien.
He glanced up from his phone and immediately fell silent. His mouth opened and then shut, and his eyes skittered to her thighs, her feet, her unicorn knee socks, and quickly back to her face. No, not her face, some point above her shoulder. He cleared his throat before saying,
"Glad it fits."
He was looking at his phone again. His grip on the remote had tightened. It was a long beat before she realized that he was referring to his t-shirt. "Oh, yeah," she grinned. "Exactly my size, right?" It was so large that it covered pretty much the same amount of skin her dress had, but was soft and comfortable, like an old shoe. Maybe I won't give it back.
"It's all yours."
She rocked on her heels and wondered if it would be okay if she sat next to him now. It was only convenient, since they had to choose a movie together. "Can I really sleep in it this week?"
"Of course. I'll be gone tomorrow anyway."
"Oh." She knew that, of course. She'd known the first time he'd told her, a couple of weeks ago. She'd known this morning when she'd boarded the plane in San Francisco, and she'd known mere hours ago when she'd used that precise piece of information to comfort herself that no matter how awkward and stressful, her stay with Adam would at least be short-lived. Except that it wasn't awkward now, and it wasn't stressful. Not nearly as much as the idea of being apart from him for several days. Of being here, of all places, without him. "How big is your suitcase?" "Hmm? Can I come with you?" He looked up at her, still smiling, but he must have noticed something in her eyes, behind the joke and the attempted humor. Something vulnerable and imploring that she'd failed to adequately bury within herself.
"Olive."
He dropped his phone and the remote on the bed.
"Don't let them."
She just tilted her head. She was not going to cry again. There was no point in it. And she was not like this. This fragile, defenseless creature who second-guessed herself at every turn. At least, she didn't used to be. God, she hated Tom Benton. "Let them?"
"Don't let them ruin this conference for you, or science, or make you feel any less proud of your accomplishments."
She looked down, studying the yellow of her socks as she buried her toes in the soft carpet, and then up to him again. "You know what's really sad about this?" He shook his head, and Olive continued. "For a moment there, during the talk, I really enjoyed myself. I was panicky, close to puking for sure, but while I was talking to this huge group of people about my work and my hypotheses and my ideas and explaining my reasoning and the trials and errors and why what I research is so important, I felt confident. I felt good at it. It all felt right and fun, like science is supposed to be when you share it." She wrapped her arms around herself. "Like maybe I could be an academic down the road, a real one, and maybe make a difference." He nodded, as though he knew exactly what she meant.
"I wish I had been there, Olive."
She could tell he really did, that he regretted not being with her. But even Adam, indomitable, decisive, ever competent Adam, couldn't be in two places at once, and the fact remained that he had not seen her talk. "I have no idea if you're good enough, but that's not what you should be asking yourself. What matters is whether your reason to be in academia is good enough." That's what he'd told her years ago in the bathroom, what she'd been repeating to herself for years whenever she'd hit a wall. But what if he'd been wrong all along? What if there was such a thing as good enough? What if that was what mattered the most? What if it's true? What if I really am mediocre? He didn't reply for a long moment. He just stared,
a hint of frustration in his expression, a thoughtful line to his lips. And then, low and even, he said,
"When I was in my second year of grad school, my advisor told me that I was a failure who would never amount to anything."
What? Whatever she'd expected, that wasn't it. Why?
Because of an incorrect primer design. But it wasn't the first time, nor the last. And it wasn't the most trivial reason he used to berate me. Sometimes he'd publicly humiliate his grads for no reason. But that specific time stuck with me, because I remember thinking.
He swallowed, and his throat worked.
I remember being sure that he was right, that I would never amount to anything.
But you have published articles in The Lancet, have tenure and millions of dollars in research grants, were keynote speaker at a major conference. Olive wasn't even sure what to bring up, so she settled for, "You were a MacArthur Fellow."
"I was."
He exhaled a laugh.
"And 5 years before the MacArthur Grant, in the second year of my PhD, I spent an entire week preparing law school applications because I was sure that I'd never become a scientist."
Wait, so what Holden said was true? She couldn't quite believe it. Why law school? He shrugged.
"My parents would have loved it, and if I couldn't be a scientist, I didn't care what I'd become."
"What stopped you then?" He sighed.
"Holden and Tom."
"Tom," she repeated, her stomach twisted, leaden.
"I would have dropped out of my PhD program if it hadn't been for them. Our advisor was well known in the field for being a sadist. Like I am, I suppose."
His mouth curled into a bitter smile.
"I was aware of his reputation before starting my PhD. Thing is, he was also brilliant, the very best. And I thought that I could take it. Whatever he'd dish out at me, and that it would be worth it. I thought it would be a matter of sacrifice and discipline and hard work."
There was a strain to Adam's voice, as though the topic was not one he was used to discussing. Olive tried to be gentle when she asked. "And it wasn't?" He shook his head.
"The opposite, in a way."
"The opposite of discipline and hard work?"
"We worked hard, all right. But discipline? Discipline would presume specifically laid out expectations. Ideal codes of behavior are defined, and a failure to adhere to them is addressed in a productive way. That's what I thought, at least. What I still think. You said that I'm brutal with my grads, and maybe you're right.
Adam,
But what I try to do is set goals for them and help them achieve them. If I realize that they're not doing what we have mutually agreed needs to be done, I tell them what's wrong and what they must change. I don't baby them. I don't hide criticism and praises. I don't believe in that Oreo cookie feedback crap. And if they find me terrifying or antagonizing because of it, so be it."
He took a deep breath.
"But I also don't ever make it about them. It's always about the work. Sometimes it's well done, other times it's not. And if it's not, work can be redone. It can improve. I don't want them to tie their self-worth to what they produce."
He paused, and he looked, no, he felt far away, like these were things he gave a great deal of thought to, like he wanted this for his students.
"I hate how self-important this all sounds, but science is serious business, and it's my duty as a scientist, I believe."
All of a sudden, the air in the hotel room was cold. "I'm the one who told him," she thought, feeling her stomach flip. "I'm the one who told him repeatedly that he's terrifying and antagonizing and that all his students hate him."
"And your advisor didn't?"
"I never quite understood what he thought."
What I do know now, years later, is that he was abusive. A lot of terrible things happened under his watch. Scientists were not given credit for their ideas or authorship of papers they deserved. People were publicly belittled for making mistakes that would be normal for experienced researchers, let alone trainees. Expectations were stellar, but never fully defined. Impossible deadlines were set arbitrarily, out of the blue, and grads were punished for not meeting them. PhD students were constantly assigned to the same tasks, then pitted against each other and asked to compete for my advisor's amusement. Once, he put Holden and me on the same research project and told us that whoever obtained publishable results first would receive funding for the following semester.
She tried to imagine how it would feel if Dr. Aslan openly promoted a competitive environment between Olive and her cohorts. But no, Adam and Holden had been close friends their whole lives, so the situation wasn't comparable. It would have been like being told that to receive a salary next semester, Olive would need to out-science On. "What did you do?" He ran a hand through his hair, and a strand fell on his forehead.
"We paired up. We figured that we had complementary skills. A pharmacology expert can achieve more with the help of a computational biologist, and vice versa. And we were right. We ran a really good study. It was exhausting, but also elating. Staying up all hours to figure out how to fix our protocols, knowing that we were the first to discover something."
For a moment, he seemed to enjoy the memory, but then he pressed his lips together, rolling his jaw.
"And at the end of the semester, when we presented our findings to our advisor, he told us that we'd both be without funding, because by collaborating, we hadn't followed his guidelines. We spent the following spring teaching 6 sections of Introduction to Biology per week, on top of lab work. Holden and I were living together. I swear that I once heard him mumble, 'Mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell,' in his sleep."
"But you gave your advisor what he wanted." Adam shook his head.
"He wanted a power play, and in the end, he got it. He punished us for not dancing to his tune and published the findings we brought to him without acknowledging our role in obtaining them."
"I..." Her fingers fisted in the loose fabric of her borrowed t-shirt. "Adam, I'm so sorry I ever compared you to him. I didn't mean to..."
"It's okay."
He smiled at her, tight but reassuring. "It was not okay." Yes, Adam could be direct, painfully so, stubborn and blunt and uncompromising, not always kind, but never devious or malicious. Quite the opposite, he was honest to a fault and required from others the same discipline he clearly imposed on himself. As much as his grads complained about his harsh feedback or the long hours of work they were asked to put in the lab, they all recognized that he was a hands-on mentor without being a micromanager. Most of them graduated with several publications and moved on to excellent academic jobs.
"You didn't know."
"Still, I..." She bit her lip, feeling guilty, feeling defeated, feeling angry at Adam's advisor and at Tom for treating academia like their own personal playground, at herself for not knowing what to do about it. "Why did no one report him?" He closed his eyes briefly.
"Because he was shortlisted for a Nobel Prize. Twice. Because he had powerful friends in high places, and we thought no one would believe us. Because he could make or break careers. Because we felt that there was no real system in place to ask for help."
There was a sour set to his jaw, and he was not looking at her anymore. It was so surreal, the idea of Adam Carlson feeling powerless. And yet, his eyes told another story.
"We were terrified. And probably somewhere deep down, we were convinced that we'd signed up for it and we deserved it. That we were failures who would never amount to anything."
Her heart hurt for him, for herself, I'm so, so sorry. He shook his head again, and his expression somewhat cleared.
When he told me that I was a failure, I thought he was right. I was ready to give up on the one thing I cared about because of it. And Tom and Holden, they had their own issues with our advisor, of course. Everyone did. But they helped me. For some reason, my advisor always seemed to know when something wrong was happening with my studies. But Tom mediated a lot between us. He took lots of crap so I wouldn't have to. He was a favorite of my advisor's and interceded to make the lab less like a battle zone.
Adam talking about Tom as though he were a hero made her nauseous, but she remained silent. This wasn't about her.
And Holden. Holden stole my law school applications and made paper planes out of them. He was removed enough from what was happening to me that he could help me see things objectively. Just like I am removed from what happened to you today.
His eyes were on her now. There was a light in them that she didn't understand.
You are not mediocre, Olive. You were not invited to speak because people think that you are my girlfriend. There is no such thing. Since SBD's abstracts go through a blind review process, I would know because I've been roped into reviewing them in the past, and the work you presented is important, rigorous, and brilliant.
He took a deep breath. His shoulders rose and fell in time with the thudding of her heart.
I wish you could see yourself the way I see you.
Maybe it was the words, or maybe the tone. Maybe it was the way he'd just told her something about himself, or how he'd taken her hand earlier and saved her from her misery, her knight in black armor. Maybe it was none of it. Maybe it was all of it. Maybe it was always going to happen. Still, it didn't matter. Suddenly, it just didn't matter. The why of it, the how, the after. All Olive cared about was that she wanted to, right now, and that seemed enough to make it all right. It was all so slow. The step forward she took to come to stand between his knees, the rise of her hand to his face, the way her fingers cupped his jaw. Slow enough that he could have stopped her. He could have pulled out of reach. He could have said something, and he did not. He simply looked up at her. His eyes a clear, liquid brown, and Olive's heart at once jumped and quieted when he tilted his head and leaned into her palm. It didn't surprise her how soft his skin was beneath the night stubble, how much warmer than hers. And when she bent, for once taller than him, the shape of his lips under hers was like an old song, familiar and easy. It wasn't their first kiss, after all. Though it was different, calm and tentative and precious, Adam's hand light on her waist as he tilted his chin up to her, eager and pressing, like this was something he'd thought of, like he'd been wanting it too. It wasn't their first kiss, but it was the first kiss that was theirs, and Olive savored it for long moments. The texture, the smell, the closeness, the slight hitch in Adam's breath, the odd pauses, the way their lips had to work a little before finding the right angles and some form of coordination.
See?
She wanted to say, triumphant, to whom she wasn't sure.
See? It was always going to be like this.
Olive grinned into his lips, and Adam. Adam was already shaking his head when she pulled back, like a no had been waiting in his mouth all along, even as he returned her kiss. His fingers closed tight around her wrist, drawing her hand away from his face.
This is not a good idea.
Her smile faded. He was right. He was completely right. He was also wrong. Why?
Olive.
He shook his head again. Then his hand left her waist and came up to his lips, as if to touch the kiss they'd just shared, making sure it had really happened.
This is... No.
He really was right. but... Why? She repeated. Adam's fingers pressed into his eyes. His left hand was still holding her wrist, and she wondered distractedly if he was even aware of it, if he knew that his thumb was swiping back and forth across her pulse.
This is not what we're here for.
She could feel her nostrils flare. That doesn't mean that...
You're not thinking clearly.
He swallowed visibly.
You're upset and drunk and...
I had 2 beers, hours ago.
You're a grad student, currently depending on me for a place to stay. And even if not, the power I have over you could easily turn this into a coercive dynamic that...
Olive laughed. I'm not feeling coerced.
You're in love with someone else.
She almost recoiled. The way he spit out the words was that heated. It should have put her off, driven her away. Once and for all, drilled into her head how ridiculous this was, how disastrous an idea. It didn't, though. By now, the moody, ill-tempered ass Adam meshed so well with her Adam, the one who bought her cookies and checked her slides and let her cry into his neck. There might have been a time when she couldn't quite reconcile the two, but they were all so clear now, the many faces of him. She wouldn't want to leave behind any of them, not one.
Olive,
he sighed heavily, closing his eyes. The idea that he might be thinking of the woman who Holden mentioned flashed into her mind and slipped away, too painful to entertain. She should just tell him. She should be honest with him. Admit that she didn't care about Jeremy, that there was no one else. Never had been. But she was terrified, paralyzed with fear. And after the day she'd had, her heart felt so easy to break, so fragile. Adam could shatter it in 1,000 pieces and still be none the wiser.
Olive, this is how you're feeling now. A month from now, a week, tomorrow. I don't want you to regret.
What about what I want? She leaned forward, letting her words soak the silence for drawn-out seconds. What about the fact that I want this, though maybe you don't care? She squared her shoulders, blinking quickly against the prickling sensation in her eyes. Because you don't want it, right? Maybe I'm just not attractive to you and you don't want this. It nearly made her lose her balance. The way he tugged at her wrist and pulled her hand to himself, pressing her palm flush to his groin to show her that... Oh. Yeah. His jaw rolled as he held her gaze.
You have no fucking idea what I want.
It took her breath away, all of it. The low, guttural tone of his voice, the thick ridge under her fingers, the enraged, hungry note in his eyes. He pushed her hand away almost immediately, but it already felt too late. It wasn't that Olive hadn't... The kisses they'd exchanged, they were always physical. But now it was as if something had been switched on. For a long time, she'd thought Adam handsome and attractive. She'd touched him, sat on his lap, considered the vague possibility of being intimate with him. She'd thought about him, about sex, about him and sex. But it had always been abstract, hazy and undefined, like line art in black and white, just the base for a drawing that was suddenly... coloring on the inside. It was clear now, in the damp ache pooling between her thighs, in his eyes that were all pupil, how it would be between them, heady and sweaty and slick, challenging. They would do things for each other, demand things of each other. They would be incredibly close. And Olive, now that she could see it, she really, really wanted it. She stepped close, even closer. Well then. Her voice was low, but she knew he could hear her. He shut his eyes tight.
This is not why I asked you to room with me.
I know. Olive pushed a black strand of hair away from his forehead. It's also not why I accepted. His lips were parted, and he was staring down at her hand, the one that was almost wrapped around his erection a moment ago.
You said no sex.
She had said that. She remembered thinking about her rules, listing them in his office, and she remembered being certain that she would never, ever be interested in seeing Adam Carlson for longer than 10 minutes a week. I also said it was going to be an on-campus thing, and we just went out for dinner, so. He might know what was best, but what he wanted was different. She could almost see the debris of his control, feel it slowly erode.
I don't.
He straightened, infinitesimally. The line of his shoulders, his jaw. He was so tense, still avoiding her eyes.
I don't have anything.
It was a little embarrassing, the amount of time it took for her to parse the meaning of it. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm on birth control and clean, she bit into her lip. But we could also do other things. Adam swallowed twice and then nodded. He wasn't breathing normally, and Olive doubted he could say no at this point, that he would even want to. He did put up a good effort, though.
What if you hate me for this after? What if we go back and you change your mind?
I won't. She stepped, God, even closer. She wouldn't think about after. Couldn't, didn't want to. I've never been surer of anything, except maybe self-theory. She smiled, hoping he'd smile back. Adam's mouth remained straight and serious, but it scarcely mattered. The next time Olive felt his touch, it was on the slope of her hip bone, under the cotton of the t-shirt he'd given her. Chapter 16. Hypothesis. Despite what everyone says, sex is never going to be anything more than a mildly enjoyable activity. It was like a layer peeled away. Adam yanked off the shirt he was wearing in one fluid movement, and it was as though the white cotton was only one of many things tossed in a corner of the room. Olive didn't have a name for what the other things were. All she knew was that a few seconds earlier he'd seemed reluctant, almost unwilling to touch her, and now he was not. He was running the show now, wrapping his large hands around her waist, sliding his fingertips under the elastic of her green polka-dot panties, and kissing her. He kisses, Olive thought, like a man starved. Like he'd been waiting all this time, holding back. Like the possibility of the two of them doing this had occurred to him in the past, but he'd set it aside, stored it away in a deep, dark place where it had grown into something fearsome and out of control. Olive thought she knew how it would be. They'd kissed before, after all. Except she realized now that she had always been the one to kiss him. Maybe she was being fanciful. What did she know about different types of kisses anyway? Still, something in her belly thrummed and liquefied when his tongue licked against hers, when he bit a tender spot on her neck, when he made a guttural noise in the back of his throat as his fingers cupped her ass through her panties. Under her shirt, his hand traveled up to her ribcage. Olive gasped and smiled into his mouth. You did that before. He blinked at her, confused, pupils blown large and dark. What? The night I kissed you in the hallway. You did it that night too.
I did what?
You touched me. Here. Her hand slid to her ribs to cover his through the cotton. He looked up at her through dark lashes and began to lift a corner of her shirt, up her thighs, and past her hip until it caught right under her breast. He leaned into her, pressing his lips against the lowest part of her ribs. Olive gasped, and gasped again when he bit her softly and then licked across the same spot.
Here,
he asked. She was growing lightheaded. It could be how close he was, or the heat in the room, or the fact that she was almost naked, standing in front of him in nothing but panties and socks.
Olive.
His mouth traveled upward, less than an inch, teeth grazing against skin and bone.
Here.
She hadn't thought she could get this wet this quickly, or at all. Then again, she hadn't really thought much about sex in the past few years.
Pay attention, sweetheart.
He sucked the underside of her breast. She had to hold on to his shoulders, or her knees would give out on her.
Here.
It took a moment to focus, but she nodded. Maybe? Yes, there. It was a good kiss. Her eyes fluttered closed, and she didn't even fight it when he took the shirt completely off her. It was his, after all. And the way he was studying her, it brooked no self-consciousness on her part. Do you remember it? He was the distracted one now, staring at her breasts like they were something spectacular, his lips parted and breath quick and shallow.
Remember what?
Our first kiss? He didn't answer. Instead, he looked up and down at her, eyes glazed, and said,
I want to keep you in this hotel room for a week.
His hand came up to cup her breast, not exactly gentle, just the side of too forceful, and Olive felt herself clench around nothing.
For a year.
He pushed his hand against her shoulder blades to make her arch toward him, and then closed his mouth against her breast, all teeth and tongue and wonderful, delicious suction. Olive whimpered against the back of her hand, because she hadn't known, hadn't thought that she'd be so sensitive. But her nipples were tight and raw and almost sore, and if he didn't do something, she'd...
You're edible, Olive.
His palm pressed against her spine, and Olive arched a little more, an offering of sorts. That's probably an insult, she breathed out with a smile, considering that you only like wheatgrass and broccoli. Oh. He could fit her entire breast in his mouth. All of it. He groaned in the back of his throat, and it was clear that he'd love to swallow her whole. Olive should touch him too. She was the one who'd asked for this, and it followed that she should make sure that being with her was not a chore for him. Maybe put her hand back where he'd dragged it earlier and stroke? He could instruct her on how he liked it. Maybe this was a one-time thing, and they were never going to talk about it again. But Olive couldn't help herself. She just wanted him to like this, to like her.
This okay?
She must have lingered too long inside her head, because he was looking up at her with a frown, his thumb swiping back and forth on her hip bone.
You're tense.
His voice was strained. He was cupping his cock almost absentmindedly, stroking and gripping every once in a while. When his eyes fell on the hard points of her nipples, when she shivered, when she squirmed on her feet to rub her thighs together.
We don't have to.
I want to. I said I did. His throat bobbed.
It doesn't matter what you said. You can always change your mind.
I won't. The way he was looking at her, Olive was sure he'd protest again, but he just rested his forehead on her sternum, his breath warm against the skin he'd just licked, and let his fingertips coast the elastic of her panties, dip under the thin cotton.
I think I've changed my mind, he murmured.
She stiffened. I know I'm not doing anything, but if you tell me what you like, I can...
My favorite color must be green after all.
She exhaled when his thumb pressed between her legs, brushing against fabric that was already dark and wet. She exhaled in a rush until there was no air left, embarrassment washing over her at the thought that now he must know exactly how much she wanted this, and at the pleasure of his finger, large and blunt, running against her seam. He definitely knew, because he looked back up at her, glassy-eyed and breathing fast.
Damn,
he said, quiet.
Olive.
Do you? Her mouth was as dry as the desert. Do you want me to take them off?
No, he shook his head. Not yet.
But if we...
He hooked his finger on the elastic and pushed the cotton to the side. She was glistening, swollen and plump to her own eyes, way too far ahead, considering that they'd barely done anything. Too eager. This was embarrassing. I'm sorry.
There were two kinds of heat, the one curling tight at the bottom of her stomach and the one rising to her cheeks. Olive could barely tell them apart.
I am...
perfect.
He wasn't really talking to her, more to himself, marveling at the way his fingertips sank so easily between her folds, parting them and gliding back and forth until Olive threw back her head and closed her eyes, because the pleasure was streaming, stretching, thrumming through her, and she couldn't.
You are so beautiful.
The words sounded hushed, ripped out of him, like he wasn't going to say them.
May I?
It took her several heartbeats to realize that he was referring to his middle finger, to the way it was circling around her entrance and tapping at it, applying a light pressure right against the rim. So wet already. Olive moaned.
Yes, anything,
she breathed out. He licked her nipple, a silent thank you, and pushed in. Or at least, he tried. Olive hissed, and so did Adam, with a muted, hoarse, fuck. He had big fingers. That must be why they didn't fit. The first knuckle was just shy of too much, a pinching ache and the sensation of damp, uncomfortable fullness. She shifted on her heels, trying to adjust and make room, and then shifted some more, until he had to grip her hip with his other hand to keep her still. Olive held on to his shoulders, his skin sweat-slicked and scorching hot under her palms.
Shh.
His thumb grazed her, and she whimpered.
It's okay. Relax.
Impossible.
Though, if Olive had to be honest, the way his finger was curving inside her, it was already getting better. Not so painful now, and maybe even wetter. And if he touched her there... Her head lolled back. She clutched his muscles with her nails.
There. Is that a good spot?
Olive wanted to tell him that no, it was too much. But before she could open her mouth, he did it again, until she couldn't keep quiet anymore, all groans and whimpers and wet, obscene noises, until he tried to get a little further inside and she couldn't help wincing.
What is it?
His voice was his regular voice, but a million times raspier.
Does it hurt?
No. Oh.
He looked up, all flushed pale skin against dark waves.
Why are you so tense, Olive? You've done this before, right?
Yes.
She was not sure what compelled her to continue. Any idiot could see from a mile away that it was a terrible idea. But there was no room left for lies now that they were standing so close. So she confessed.
A couple of times in college.
Adam went immobile, completely motionless. His muscles flexed, coiled strong under her palms, and then they just stayed like that, tense and still as he stared up at her.
Olive.
But it doesn't matter, she hastened to add. Because he was already shaking his head, pulling away from her. It really didn't matter, not to Olive, and therefore, it shouldn't to Adam either.
I can figure it out. I've learned wholesale patch clamp in a couple of hours. Sex can't be much harder. And I bet you do this all the time, so you can tell me how to...
You lose.
The room was chilly. His finger was not inside her anymore, and his hand had left her hip.
What?
You'd lose your bet.
He sighed, wiping a hand down his face. The other one, the one that had been inside her, moved down to adjust his cock. It looked enormous by now, and he winced as he touched it.
Olive, I can't.
Of course you can.
He shook his head.
I'm sorry.
What? No, I...
You're basically a ver-
I'm not.
Olive.
I am not.
But so close to it that-
No, that's not the way it works. Virginity is not a continuous variable. It's categorical. Binary, nominal, dichotomous. Ordinal, potentially. I'm talking about chi-square, maybe Spearman's correlation, logistic regression, the logit model and that stupid sigmoid function and-
It had been weeks, and it still took her breath away, the uneven tilt of his smile. How unanticipated it always was, the dimples it formed. Olive was left without air as his large palm cupped the side of her face and brought it down for a slow, warm, laughing kiss.
You are such a smartass, he said against her mouth.
Maybe.
She was smiling too, and kissing him back, hugging him, arms draped around his neck, and she felt a shiver of pleasure when he pulled her deeper into himself.
Olive, he said, inching back. If, for any reason, sex is something that you're not comfortable with, or that you'd rather not have outside of a relationship, then.
No, it's nothing like that. I...
She took a deep breath, looking for a way to explain herself.
It's not that I want to not have sex. I just don't particularly want to have it. There is something weird about my brain and my body, and I don't know what's wrong with me. But I don't seem to be able to experience attraction like other people, like normal people. I tried to just do it, to get it over with, and the guy I did it with was nice, but the truth is that I just don't feel any...
She closed her eyes. This was difficult to admit.
I don't feel any sexual attraction unless I actually get to trust and like a person, which for some reason never happens, or almost never. It hadn't, not in a long time, but now, I really like you, and I really trust you, and for the first time in a million years, I want to...
She couldn't ramble anymore, because he was kissing her again, this time hard and bruising, as though he wanted to absorb her into himself.
I want to do this, she said, as soon as she was able to. With you, I really do.
Me too, Olive, he sighed. You have no idea.
Then please, don't say no.
She bit her lip, and then his, and then nipped at his jaw.
Please?
He took a deep breath and nodded. She smiled and kissed the curve of his neck, and his hand splayed against her lower back.
But, he said, we should probably go about this a little differently.
It took her the longest time to realize his intentions, not because she was stupid or oblivious or that naive about sex, but because maybe she was a little naive about sex, but she truly hadn't thought about it for ages before Adam, and even then, it was never quite in these terms, him above her, pushing her legs wide open with his palms on her inner thighs, and then kneeling between them, sliding down, low.
What are you?
The way he parted her with his tongue, it was as though she was butter, and he meant to slice through her like a hot knife. He was slow but sure, and didn't pause when Olive's thigh stiffened against his palm, or when she tried to squirm away. He just grunted, rich and low, then ran his nose in the skin at the juncture of her abdomen, inhaling deeply, and then he licked her once more.
Adam, stop, she pleaded. And for a moment he just nuzzled his face against her folds, like he had no intention of doing any such thing. Then he lifted his head, eyes foggy, as if aware that he should be listening to her. His lips vibrated against her.
Maybe you should stop.
He went still, his hand tightening around her thigh.
Have you changed your mind?
No, but we should do other things.
He frowned.
You don't like this?
No, yes. Well, I've never...
The line between his eyebrows deepened.
But I'm the one who put you up to this, so we should do things that you are into and not stuff for me.
This time, it was the flat of his tongue against her clit, pressing just enough to make her clench and exhale in a rush. The tip was circling around it, which, such a small movement, and yet it sent her hand straight to her mouth, had her biting the fleshy part of her palm.
Adam, her voice sounded like someone else's. Did you hear what I...
You said to do something I'm into.
His breath was hot against her.
I am.
You can't possibly want to... He squeezed her leg.
I can't remember a moment I didn't.
It just didn't feel like standard hookup fare, something this intimate. But it was hard to protest when he looked spellbound, staring at her face and her legs and the rest of her body. His hand was large, open over her abdomen and holding her down, inching higher and closer to her breasts, but never close enough. Lying like this, Olive was a little embarrassed of how concave her stomach was, of the way her ribs stuck out. Adam, though, didn't seem to mind.
Wouldn't you rather?
A nip.
No.
I didn't even say.
He glanced up.
There isn't anything I'd rather do.
But...
He sucked on one of her lips with a loud, wet noise, and she gasped, and then his tongue was inside her, and she moaned, half in surprise, half of the feeling of, yes,
yes.
Fuck,
someone said. It wasn't Olive, so it must have been Adam.
Fuck.
It felt incredible, otherworldly, his tongue dipping in and out, circling and lapping, and his nose against her skin, and the quiet sounds he made from deep in his chest whenever she contracted, and Olive was going to... She wasn't sure she was going to come, not with another person in the room touching her.
This might take a while, she said apologetically,
hating how thin her voice sounded.
Fuck yes.
His tongue swiped the entirety of her, a long, broad stroke.
Please.
She didn't think she'd ever heard him quite this enthusiastic about anything, not even grant writing or computational biology. It kicked the whole thing a few notches higher for her, and it got worse when she noticed his arm, the one that wasn't cupping the cheek of her ass and holding her open. He hadn't taken himself out of his pants yet, that Olive could see, and wasn't that unfair, since she was all splayed open for him? But the way his arm was shifting, how his hand was moving up and down slowly, that was just unbearable. She arched further, her spine shaping a perfect curve as the back of her head hit the pillow.
Olive.
He leaned back a few centimeters and kissed the inside of her shaking thigh, took a deep breath with his nose, as if to hold the smell of her within himself.
You can't come yet.
His lips brushed against her folds as his tongue dipped in again and she squeezed her eyes shut. There was a liquid burning heat blossoming in her tummy, spilling all over her. Her fingers clawed at the sheets, grasping for an anchor. This was impossible, unmanageable.
Adam?
Don't. 2 more minutes.
He sucked on. God, yes. There. I'm sorry.
1 more.
I can't.
Focus, Olive.
In the end, it was his voice that ruined everything. That quiet, possessive tone, the hint of an order in the low rasp of his words. And the pleasure broke over her like an ocean wave. Her mind snapped, and she was not wholly herself for seconds, and then minutes. And when she had a sense of the world again, he was still licking her, except more slowly, as if with no purpose but to savor her.
I want to go down on you until you pass out.
His lips were so soft against her skin.
No, Olive fisted the pillow. You can't.
Why?
I have to.
She couldn't think straight, not quite yet. Her mind was addled, stuttering. She almost screamed when he pushed one finger inside. This time it sank like a rock into water, smooth and without obstacle, and her walls clamped on it as if to welcome Adam and hold him inside.
Jesus.
He licked her clit again, and she was too sensitive for this. Maybe.
You are.
He hooked his finger inside her, pressing against the roof of her channel, and the pleasure welled in her, washing against her edges.
So small and tight and warm.
The heat flooded within her once more, knocked the air out of her lungs, leaving her open-mouthed, bright colors bursting behind her eyelids. He groaned something that was not quite coherent and slid in another finger on the tail end of her orgasm, and the taut stretch of it was ruinous. Her body bloomed into something that didn't belong to her anymore, something made of bright high peaks and lush valleys. It left her heavy and boneless, and she was not sure how long went by before she could bear to raise her palm to his forehead and gently push him away to get him to stop. He shot her a sullen glance but complied, and Olive tugged him up, because he looked like he might start again any moment, and because it would be nice to have him next to her. Maybe he was thinking the same. He lifted himself above her, leaning his weight on his forearm, his chest pushed against her breast, one large thigh lodged firmly between her legs. She was still wearing her stupid knee socks, and God, Adam was probably thinking that she was the lamest lay he'd ever.
Can I fuck you?
He said it, and then he kissed her, unconcerned with where his mouth had been just seconds earlier. She wondered if she should be put off by that, but she was still twitching with pleasure, contracting with aftershocks at the memory of what he'd just done. She couldn't make herself care, and it was nice to kiss him like this. So nice. Her palms came up to cup his face, and she began to trace his cheekbones with her thumbs. They were red and hot. What?
Can I fuck you?
He sucked the base of her throat.
Please.
He breathed it against the shell of her ear, and it wasn't as though she could say no, or wanted to. She nodded her permission and reached for his cock, but he beat her to it and pulled down his pants, closing his fist around it. He was big, larger than she'd thought he'd be, than she'd thought anyone could be. She could still feel his heart pounding rapidly against her chest as he aligned himself to her and nudged the head against her opening end. Olive was lax now, and pliant, and still not loose enough. Ah! It didn't quite hurt, but it was nearly too much. Definitely not easy. And yet, that sensation, the push of him against every part of her, it held a promise. You're so big. He groaned into her neck. His entire body was vibrating with tension.
You can take it.
I can, she told him, voice reedy, and her breath caught halfway through the second word. Women gave birth, after all. Except that he was not in, not really, not even half, and there was just no more room. Olive looked up at him. His eyes were closed, dark half moons against his skin, and his jaw was tense. What if it's too much? Adam lowered his lips to her ear.
Then,
he attempted a thrust, and maybe it was too much, but the friction was lovely.
Then I'll fuck you like this.
She squeezed her eyes shut when he hit a place that made her whimper.
God, Olive.
Her entire body was pulsating. Is there something I should be?
Just.
He kissed her collarbone. Their breathing was erratic by now, loud in the silence of the room.
Be quiet for a moment, so I don't come already.
Olive canted her hips, and he was rubbing that spot again. It made her thighs tremble, and she tried to open them wider, to invite him inside. Maybe you should.
I should?
She nodded. They were too dazed to kiss with any kind of coordination by this point, but his lips were hot and soft when they brushed against hers. Yes.
Inside you.
If you... Adam's hand came up behind Olive's knee and angled it just so, spreading her legs in a way she simply hadn't thought of, firmly holding her open.
If you want to.
You're so perfect. You're driving me insane.
Her insides opened to him without warning. They welcomed and pulled at him until he bottomed out, until he was wedged deep and stretching her to a point that should be breaking, but just made her feel filled, sealed, perfect. They both exhaled. Olive lifted a hand, closed it shakily around Adam's sweaty nape.
Hey,
she smiled up at him. He smiled back, just a little.
Hey.
His eyes were opaque, like stained glass. He moved inside her, just a hint of a thrust, and it made her entire body clench around him until she could feel his cock twitch and pulsate inside her like a drum. Her head fell to the pillow, and someone was groaning, something guttural and out of control. Then Adam pulled out, pushed back in, and they annihilated the no-sex rule. In the span of a few seconds, his thrusts went from tentative, exploratory, to fast and all-eclipsing. His hand slid to the small of her back, lifting her into him as he piled in and in again, rubbing inside her, against her, forcing pleasure to vibrate up her spine.
Is this okay?
He asked against her ear, not quite managing to stop. Olive couldn't answer, not past the sharp hitch of her breath, the way her fingers dug desperately into the sheets. Pressure built again inside her, swelled large and consuming.
You have to tell me if you don't like it, he rasped, what I'm doing.
He was eager, a little clumsy, losing control and slipping out of her, having to nudge his cock back inside. He was out of focus, but so was she, too flooded by how good he felt, how stupefying the pleasure, how smoothly he slid in and out, how right this felt.
Olive, you have to.
He stopped with a grunt, because she canted her hips and clenched around him, gripping him harder, sucking him deeper.
I like it.
She reached up to fist her fingers in his hair, to catch his eyes, make sure he was paying attention as she said, I love it, Adam. His control poured out. He made a crude noise and shuddered, pumping hard and muttering nonsense into her skin. How perfect she was, how beautiful, how long he'd wanted this, how he would never, could never let go of her. Olive felt his orgasm soar, the blinding, scalding pleasure as he trembled on top of her. She smiled, and when new shivers began to roll down her spine, she bit Adam's shoulder and let herself go under. Chapter 17. Hypothesis. When I think I've hit rock bottom, someone will hand me a shovel. That someone is probably Tom Benton. Olive drifted off after the first time and dreamed of many strange, nonsensical things. Sushi rolls shaped like spiders. The first snowfall in Toronto during her last year with her mother. Adam's dimples. Tom Benton's sneer as he spat the words, little sob story. Adam again, this time serious, saying her name in his unique way. Then she felt the mattress dip and the sound of something being placed on the nightstand. She slowly blinked awake, disoriented in the dim light of the room. Adam was sitting on the side of the bed, pushing a lock of hair behind her ear.
Hi, she smiled.
Hey.
Her hand reached out to touch.